The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. However you are taking us in, we are grateful. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside.
My little
buddy Kelly Bidlin. Drew Dinsick standing by. Mark Borchard will join us as well this hour. Paul Carr a little later on with his World Cup plays today in another quadruple header. Will the draw fest continue? We get tweets beating the book. Futures bet. BP. Has any reporter asked anybody at Texas Tech if they would have done all of this if Sorsby was a punter? This team may now be more hated than Notre Dame. I know, man. LFC title records. Instead of Fezzik calling people Dumbos and Dumdums, maybe replace it with Dundas.
There you go.
The street in Toronto. Rhodes knows. Hey, guys, catching up on the show. Did you guys say those were quotes said at Greg Peterson past dates? Were Kelly and Gil reading Greg's think bubbles or journal thoughts? No, those sadly were Texas Tech officials and boosters.
I didn't know what he was talking about for a second.
Patrick Kelly, U.S. Open weather. Guessing there won't be many people out hitting shuttlecocks in the Shinnecock area. Hey! Kind of show is this? And then AJ Critelli, I don't understand the reference, AJ. He says, was it the AM, PM John Paul? What does that mean? He's talking about tea times. AM, PM. Good choice. Or whatever that ad campaign is. Ladies and gentlemen, this man has much to say about multiple sports. We always enjoy having him. Drew Dinsick in his normal Tuesday spot. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper or follow him with his podcast. Both of them, Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor on the Deep Dive. And then Drew and Jay Croucher with NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Drew joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drewski, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Let me start with tennis. Do you have any grass court tennis plays left today for folks?
Yes, only the one, and it is juicy. I laid Jiří Lehečka over Mašarach in Queens. I gotta say, I took Jiří outright in that field pool too. So I think Jiří can ship this. I thought his quality of play in Stuttgart was pretty solid. I think he should have probably beat Fritz in that was it the semifinals. And I think in general, he's kind of being a little bit underpriced in market right now, especially in today's tennis field. Like, I got these draws, man. Queens five is a 500, and it used to be like a pretty juicy draw. This draw is some real dog's breath, like middle of the summer,
yeah,
like 250 type of stuff. And similarly, Halla. Man, holla. Everybody basically taking the summer off of tennis to watch the World Cup, I guess. I mean, these draws are brutal. And WTA Nottingham, I don't have anything else left today, but I did take some Pliskova to win Nottingham. So I'm on her outright.
Hoping for her to regain her grass prowess.
Is this like
years going by?
Is this like a golf major thing? Like, are people like, are they starting to take their own time off to prepare for Wimbledon on their own, and they just don't want to play?
I'll let you handle that, Drew. Grass is so short anyway.
Yeah.
Some people just kind of mentally.
I also think that the clay tournaments this year were grueling, and then ending with the French Open with the heat and sort of the degree to which people broke down. I think you see a lot of them just elect to, like, I'm just going to take time to recuperate here. It's more important to be in good physical fitness for Wimbledon than it is to kind of fine tune my grass game and maybe win a smaller tournament title. But, you know, smaller tournament, but biggest trophy in all of the ATP the Queen's Trophy. You ever seen the pictures of this one, man? Like,
I'm gonna Google it right now.
I know they're doing the thing like when you catch a fish and you hold it out in front of you for the perspective to make it look like it's like that much bigger. The Queen's Trophy is hilariously large. Just in general, it's a great tournament. I mean, it's, you know, plop in the middle of London. They convert the Queen's Club to this giant Andy Murray arena. Just generally one of the cooler scenes in the tour.
All right, so it's Lehečka over Mišák, straight money line play for you? Okay.
Yeah. And Lehečka outright, so hopefully he ships.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a hell of a trophy.
That thing is huge.
That could fit a rather large stew. Stew for like 10 people.
You could jump, at your current size, you could jump into
that. Yeah, I might be able to fit in there. Huh?
That's right. Okay.
It's, yeah. Compare that one to the Wimbledon trophy, and you're like, well, which tournament is actually the bigger, you know, more impressive tournament? You know, it's like, maybe Queens.
I respect it.
Let's go to the NBA. We're going to crescendo to the World Cup because I know you're super into it. But a week from tonight is the first round of the NBA draft, where it is expected, and I say that, you know, cautiously, right, that A.J. DeBance goes to the Wizards at first, with the first pick. A.J. DeBance from BYU goes to the Wizards at number one. Darren Peterson to the Utah Jazz. I'm just following the market now, what the favorites are. Darren Peterson to the Utah Jazz at two, and then Cam Boozer at three. Caleb Wilson at four, by the way, if we want to extend this out. Then it sort of becomes who knows what. Is that how you see it? Are you reading the tea leaves elsewhere on these kinds of things?
Well, as it typically goes, once the NBA finals are a wrap, I text a handful of the same people and remind them that the NBA draft is coming. And usually get a couple of news and nuggets and notes and cloak and dagger stuff. And right now, I think most people are just kind of like, there could be some jailbreak prices on some of this stuff, but I don't think it's going to be number one this year. I think AJ is going to the Wizards one. And I think the Peterson stunt where he was kind of, his camp was, oh, we're only going to the Wizards. That's how committed we are. That's how much we are that sure he is the best player in this draft. Like, that kind of posturing can be read that way, I suppose. But to me, it's more posturing like, I don't really want to go to the Jazz.
That's exactly how I don't really want. Yeah.
And I mean, actually, the only news and nugget that I got that was solid was like every like kind of player camp of like the top four players, like nobody wants to go to Memphis. That's kind of like the only consensus that's come back from everybody. So I think there's some attempt to sort of navigate to a preferred destination. I suspect the Boozer's preferred destination is Chicago. I suspect that Peterson's preferred destination is Washington, but I also don't think that it's very likely that Washington and Utah flip, which is probably the only way that DeBanza goes to Utah and Peterson goes to Washington, in my opinion. And I think Peterson actually fits really well with what Utah has as far as players go. So I don't really understand why his camp would be so aggressively trying to steer him away. I think DeBanza fits great with what the Wizards have right now as well. So I don't really see any like kind of obvious puzzle pieces that are screaming there's going to be chaos here. I think Peterson has a standoff with the Jazz and they ultimately take him at two, much like Ace Bailey last year. I think Cameron Boozer has a stare off with the Memphis Grizzlies and then they ultimately take him at three because that's their slot in the draft and they can do that sort of thing. So I think Caleb Wilson is clearly the fourth best player in this draft in terms of talent. He will likely go fourth to the Bulls. And then fifth, there's been a lot of buzz that Mikal Brown is the pick there, but will the Clippers be making that pick or is that kind of an asset that they see as tradable? And if it ends up in some other team's hands, then that could break like 10 different directions. So I don't think you can even touch fifth right now, even though that is probably the one place where there looks like there is betting value. Acuff seems pretty locked in at six.
Acuff at six. Okay. Which means that someone like Vogler will drop a bit, perhaps, than from where he was expected to go. Let me just ask, just because it's fun to talk about, and we will eventually have multiple bets on this. Trae Young, there was a report from Bleacher Report, was it? Where Trae Young is being shopped around, perhaps, by the Wizards. Do you read into that
teams
at all?
Teams are calling about him, apparently.
Oh, he's not shopped. That's a different phrase. Yeah, that's a different phrase entirely.
Different phrase, yep.
Okay, I thought shop around. That's a different story entirely. Yeah, so strike that. How about this? Danny Ainge knows exactly who he wants at two and is just keeping mum about all this, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, my guess is that this is the way it goes with him. Every year he seems to have a pick in the top five and it goes the same way. And it's probably what happened with the same way that it went down with Ace Bailey last year. His team was like hired specifically to keep him from going to Utah and they stared and stared and stared and took him. So, yeah. I think that's, they'll take Peterson too. They need a guard, in my opinion. Maybe they talk themselves into some other plan, for kind of putting their team together for the future, but Peterson looks like the right fit to me. Okay. The Trae Young report you mentioned is hilarious. And teams are calling about him. Like, I mean, when you hear that kind of a quip or a quote, it's that the Wizards are like, would someone like to call us about Trae Young. Anyone out there want to call us about Trae Young? Just because we'd like to know if there's interest, because if there is, then we'll take Peterson more seriously.
Yeah, this is from Jake Fisher for Mark Stein, the Stein line, and then Bleacher Report. While the expectation remains that Trae Young will find a new longer-term agreement with the Wizards, sources say several teams, including Miami, are considering trade avenues to add the four-time All-Star guard while Washington mulls its decision regarding next week's number
one. I'm sure Washington's got it all figured out. That organization, hey, they got it all figured out. Is it too late to get Denny back, by the way? Denny Avdia? Too late.
Yeah, for real.
let's go to the world.
Price on Denny Avdia went up.
So. Yeah, a little bit.
Don't worry, the Warriors are getting him.
Oh, that's right. It's ridiculous. Listening to like sports talk radio in the Bay, they're like, you know who the player the Warriors should get is Denny Avdia. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you guys are like 2 years late on this.
He's real cheap. Nobody knows that.
All right. Let's go to the World Cup. We're gonna run into a commercial wall here, so we'll do most of this on the other end. But let me just ask you this. Is it just this easy, Drew? You just bet draws? Is it this easy? This is what we got to do?
I mean, those prices look big to me.
Yeah.
I think we round robin or just straight parlay?
Just straight. You don't have to parlay. Don't do that. Have you been capitalizing on this?
I've been betting double chance for the dogs so far this tournament, and it's working out great. If I was just singling draws, I would obviously be doing much better, but you know, that we can kind of get into this on the other side here, but the idea that with this deep of a field and 32 teams qualifying for the knockout round, the idea that even like the good or great teams in this draw were going to leave it all on the pitch to get that match day one win was obviously a fallacy.
That's playing into this windfall of draws, which has just been spectacular for many. Drew on the World Cup next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may still be months away, but the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases its NFL betting guide, 6 days away, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175, and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. It's like an album drop. It's dropping next week. Sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I like that when the guests react to the promo. That was easy. He's like, it's like
Drew did the sound effects for me. I didn't have to do my part.
It's like, catch a glimpse? You ever catch the glimpse of Jada Pinkett does this red table talk thing, and she's with her daughter and her mother on there, Will Smith's wife. I guess they're still married. I have no idea. Yeah. But they'd have a guest on there, and weird. No matter what the guest says, it's like this chorus of, oh, yes, absolutely. It's fantastic. They have to do a Saturday Night Live sketch on it. It's so great. Drew Dinsick joins us once again from the LBC, Long Beach, California, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. More on the World Cup. What are you betting today? Let's start there.
Today I took the double chance on Senegal, Algeria, and Jordan. I think Norway beats Iraq. Otherwise, I think the dogs all have chances to either draw or win. So hopefully the kind of lack of urgency among the favorites continues today. The only one I couldn't get on board with Iraq was, I mean, I just have like a pretty enormous amount of respect for Norway's attack, and I don't think Iraq is well organized enough defensively to keep them from getting two or three goals in this one. So that the Norway Iraq matchup has like Germany Curacao vibes, I think. Otherwise, think we're going to get some pretty competitive football today.
You know that? You know what that just signaled to everybody? What you just said? Let me tell you how the listening audience just translated that. Okay, so no draw in the Norway-Iraq game, but draws on everything else.
Yeah, lay goal and a half with Norway, same game parlay with Erling Haaland, like two plus goals. The Josh Allen of the Premier League.
You just wanted to say Erling Haaland.
I did, the Josh Allen of the Premier League. That's right.
He loves it.
I don't remember if I told you guys this story last week, but there may have been a time in late May where I was chasing my losses in a pretty aggressive fashion, and I just needed to find a winning bet. Flipped open the team leading goal scorer markets for the World Cup, which they were taking like to win 20k a pop, like amazing how much liquidity there is in these World Cup pools. And I may have laid some pretty aggressive prices on Erling Haaland to be Norway's top goal scorer. So if he could just go ahead and get us
a goal
just,
or two,
go ahead and get us a hat trick today. And then we can kind of coast for the rest of the tournament. That would be just fine.
I'm on his over 3.5. So I'm with you, Drew.
What would Steve Fezzik say to that? He'd be like, oh dear.
Yeah. Oh dear. Oh dear. What were the odds on that? What'd you have to lay?
Yeah. What'd you lay?
I stopped betting it at -330.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
I think it should be like -1,000.
I mean, personally, Drew, I can't tell you another attacker on Norway. So, you know, I think it's a good bet.
By the way,
they have a couple other good players, but Erling Haaland is Norway's national team leading goal scorer of all time. He has 55 goals as a national team captain, and he will be the primary target for, I think, a pretty organized attack against a pretty weak defense for Iraq. So get us three and let's kick our feet up and enjoy the rest of this tournament.
Please. Let me ask you this. We're rooting for you, Drew. Let me ask you this. Amidst the draw fest that has been this World Cup thus far, those that have taken advantage of it, lost is a question, which is, and I guess this comes back to the 32 teams make it through out of the 48 answer probably, which is, in a normal World Cup format, we might be having the discussion about Spain today, right? Like, oh boy, this could be ugly absolutely. For Spain. But now we really don't really have that, do we? Because it's like, it's not really red alert time.
I think Spain is still like minus a million to qualify. Like, they're almost certainly still going through, even though they had that that pretty brutal result. They're -350 to win the group still. Jeez. So I guess the Uruguay, no one was inspired by Uruguay yesterday. I thought they were going to get the decider.
Oh, so did I. One, but I believe I said they had 477 corners in the last 10 minutes of that game. It was amazing.
So many chances. So many chances. I don't think that there's any realistic jeopardy for Spain so far. I don't think there's any realistic jeopardy for any of the, you know, kind of teams that you would consider, the big chances here. If there's been any take, I mean, and again, like my entire kind of conceit for what we've seen so far, besides the fact that the United States is the best team in football, is that, you're not getting peak performance out of these teams, right? They're going to build into this World Cup. They're going to try to peak in the end of July when things matter, which is obviously a month away, right? Like I think that there will be certainly higher quality play from the best teams in the world come July. And Spain is probably the easiest one to point to because they're just lacking health and fitness from their top two forwards and Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. And the fact that they both got on the pitch yesterday is a pretty positive sign for Spain. I think in general, Spain will be able to find the goal more effectively against teams that have a less organized defense and a less quality goalkeeper. Cape Verde's goalkeeper was
amazing.
I think Uruguay and Saudi Arabia are going to similarly have difficulty finding the back of the net against Cape Verde. So Cape Verde probably gets through with three draws. They may get through second with three draws. I can't really tell. But I think generally Spain still wins the group and they probably still find themselves on the top half of the bracket, the knockout draw that is. And then the interesting thing so far is I feel like Brazil still probably wins their group, but Morocco is very, very live and was the better team. But Brazil looks weaker than I think a lot of people expected. Mexico looks weaker than a lot of people expected. And again, like it's maybe is stupid to take anything away from what we saw in the first matches because these teams will presumably get better. Brazil is a good example. Like they'll be better later in this tournament once they kind of figure out who their best players are and the manager kind of knows what he has, what he's working with. But the fact that Brazil and Mexico both looked pretty weak makes me wonder why nobody is kind of jumping on the England price. Like the only reason to be skeptical of England, in my opinion, was like they had to go to Estadio Azteca in Mexico City to play Mexico in round two. Likely they had to go play Brazil in Miami in the quarterfinals, and like those two head to heads could take a lot out of a team like England. But if Brazil and Mexico aren't very good, then maybe England has
a
relatively clean path to a semifinal here. I think I was preying on the Argentina prices because I thought there was a chance that a damaged England was going to squeak through there. Argentina obviously has to get by Portugal probably in their quarterfinal and then would draw England in the semifinal. There's definitely a world where path to semis all of a sudden for England is the cleanest of any of these teams. France obviously is going to have to deal with Germany probably in the round of 16, which is incredible. And then, Spain is going to presumably have to deal with France in their semifinal to get to the final. So, there's no clear and obvious, runaway pricing takeaways from the limited amount of games we've gotten to this point.
Let me just interrupt for one. Just interrupt because I want to get this in before you leave, which is, by the way, Paul Carr, Chris Veliga, they were all over Morocco being as good or not better than Brazil. So listeners to this show at least got that much before this tournament started. But I just wanted to ask you about the USA before we go. I asked this of Dallin Cuff yesterday. I'll probably ask it of Paul Carr later, which is, have you now sort of reconsidered how far you think the United States can go after the 4-1 blowout of Paraguay?
Well, that result confirmed what we suspected about USA's firepower offensively. And it didn't really tell us anything about them defensively, other than we knew that there were questions about the defense and that Paraguay struggles to finish. So I think USA pretty cleanly comes through this group as the winner. They land in the spot of the draw where they're not going to have to play anybody especially difficult for a couple of rounds. But the minute that they go head to head with a team that has, kind of more ability to take advantage of their weaknesses defensively, I think they're in trouble. Now, it was presumed that was going to be Belgium, I guess, in the round of 16, but Belgium certainly didn't look especially dangerous. So maybe it's not until later in the stages where they actually come up against a flat track bully who can score on them. Team USA is going to score goals in this World Cup. I think you can put that in pen.
Okay. That sounded like a net no, though, to my answer. Like, no, it hasn't really completely shifted your thought. Round of 16, well, I think, is kind of where it still is.
All of the questions are about their defense. When they come up against the top, a top eight team in the world, that defense is going to get exposed, is kind of my read. And maybe it gets better as we go along and they find team cohesion and they, they ride a wave of home support here. But, it's possible that they peaked a little too early, and that might have been the best national team performance we ever see.
Drew Dinsick hates America.
Yeah, hates America.
Hates America. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Take care. Coming
against
back.
The Knicks, against America. Yeah.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. You could scan that QR code for more right there on the screen. Respected and feared, they claim, Kelly. Feared. Sharpplays.com. Check them out. We get tweets of beating the book. AJ Critelli clarifying for me, says that's a Seinfeld episode that he was referencing with the marathon.
I can remember that episode start to finish.
Which it was Mr. Masterline says AMPM is from Seinfeld. Jean-Paul misses the start of the New York City Marathon. Mm-hmm. I missed that one. Kenny Dillingham sexual. Oh, this is what I was waiting for. He says FanDuel has a 1-4 exacta. DeBanza, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson at -105. Is this a bet? I was hoping for a better number than that.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, Is that a bet?
It's fascinating, man.
I mean, I think that's how it's going to go, but I was hoping for plus money at least.
It is interesting, though, that that top of the draft has kind of been set for so long now. Yeah. But it's now gone on so long, Gil, that I don't know. One of two things is right here. It's that four, and it's always been that four, and nothing has changed. Or it's we're just wildly off. We all assumed this. We never heard anything, yeah. You know. Jason, we brought up that Jonathan Givony thing from the playoffs. Like, that can't get out. I can't get that out of my head. Jonathan Givony talking to Zach Lowe about how the NBA scouts, just like NBA scouts that he talked to, that it was never clear that DeBanza was ahead of Peterson. And like, this was such a carryover storyline for the college basketball season. So I don't know. I think it's probably those four, but I don't know.
Can you trust Aaron Peterson? I mean, he'll go one or two regardless, right? But I'm just saying. Can you trust
that's,
him?
After a creatine story. After interesting.
A very non-reliable college basketball season. Jason H. 11, look what DraftKings has a promo on today. Get your money line bet back if the match ends in a draw.
There you go.
That's how DraftKings is approaching it. With their marketing. Stringfellow Hawk, I'm on Norway. Team total over 2.5 plus 105 today, he says, against Iraq. David Shalafour, yo, was Drew Dinsick wearing his Iran jersey? Did I miss that? Was he wearing an Iran jersey?
No.
I don't think so. Sean's Fox plays, forget the draw in the World Cup. You need to focus on the over in CFL. It's off to a 6-0 start with every game but one having 57 points or more.
Damn.
All right. Kelly Billen is our Canadian Football League reporter. I don't know why he doesn't know that anymore. But I'm not forgetting the draws, buddy. I'll tell you that much.
Well, look out for Brendan Sorsby. Here he comes.
Whatever you're getting paid. I'm getting paid as much as the draws are. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It is Mark Borchardt, Base Winner. BaseWinner.com, at Base Winner on Twitter. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing great, man. You know, talking about the draw, I recall a conversation we had about playing the draw parlay.
Yes.
And so I was watching the scores yesterday. I said, I hope Gil has this draw parlay in all four games. That thing would have paid a brick for you.
Do you remember that back in the day, the draw parlay? Yeah, no, just straight draws, baby. Straight draws. It's been going well. But again, as I said at the beginning of the show, you know what the smart thing would be now? To just not do them anymore. I can't do that. Going to have to take a loss before I do that. This is how this kind of thing works. No draws in Major League Baseball. I don't think that's part of the game. You have some plays today. Let's start there.
Well, it should be a part of the game. I think they should draw. I hate the ghost runner on second, but that's another story. As far as today goes, I like the Phillies. I'm pretty high on this team. In fact, I think that there's some value in the division market as well. We're talking about Philly, but for today, I think it's a good idea. You can play them on the run line. You can put them in a parlay, and I did both, Gil. I really like this Phillies bullpen. In fact, I have them rated number one in baseball. That goes a long way for me. And if you see how important maybe one guy in the bullpen is, you know, Miller got put on bereavement and it took the Padres bullpen down from 2 to 8. So this bullpen's very important when you predict a game. And I think that they have a big edge against the Marlins bullpen here. And then I think they have a good starting pitching edge too. I've got Jesus Luzardo at 15th in the Base Winner ratings. And, you know, I bet on him a few times, Gil, and Jesus has just been all right, but as the Doobie Brothers would say. But I think based on all the underlying stats, I think he's ready to go here. So Philly minus 1.5 and in the first leg of the parlay, Gil.
Phillies who crushed the Marlins yesterday by a touchdown, 7-0. And for those who don't know, and I'm not sure if the Phillies and Marlins are aware of it either, Kelly, but the June standings, this is a monster series between the Marlins and the Phillies. Marlins started out the series with a 2-win lead over the Phillies. That, of course, has been reduced to 1 now. The Phillies tried to knot up the most wins at 10 in this ballgame today. So that's a run line on the Phillies. You are also going to take the run line on the Cubs today, which warms my heart because the Cubs are trying to get to 500 in the month of June. And then you're parlaying the Cubs and Phillies on top of that, yes?
Yeah, the Cubs, you know, people were talking about how the Cubs haven't produced offensively, but I looked even in June, they're 10th in baseball in ISO power, which is a pretty good stat. But more importantly, for this game, I have them third in offensive ratings against a 28 team with the Rockies. They've got a middling bullpen by my number 16, but the Rockies are 26th. And then we get a big edge in starting pitching today. Cabrera, I've got number 30 in baseball versus Feltner, number 98. So I think, you know, when you run the simulations, you've got the Cubs minus 1.5 is a good idea. And that's plus 114. And I put the Phillies and the Cubs in a parlay. And it pays plus 140 today. So I think that those are good ideas, Gil.
I love that. Because if that happens, right? 10 is the most wins thus far in the month of June, and we're only 3 wins back at that point if all that goes down. There we go, Cubbies. Let's go.
So, Gil, so you have the Cubs in for June.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Phillies. You know, I'm going to run that. I've got the current month sims I can run. I'll go ahead and post that on Twitter, as it's interesting to me what it'll spit out.
But, well,
what a great market that is. That's
a
cool market.
It's such a great market. And I will tell you this. It won't spit out the Cubs because the handicap on the Cubs, and I'm glad to hear some of your offensive numbers corroborate what mine were, but the handicap on the Cubs was these first 15 games against the likes of the Rockies, the Athletics, and the Giants. This is what they were supposed to exploit. At best, right, at best, they'll be 8-7. That ain't going to get it done because then it's the hard part of the schedule. So like the Mariners last week, it might just be cosmetically close in the end. But who had the Marlins, right? 10-3. Thus far out of the gates in the month of June. You do have more picks besides, so it's Phillies run line, Cubs run line, then a Phillies-Cubs money line parlay. So the parlay is not with run lines. Let's keep in mind the parlay is actually with the money lines as opposed to the straights were on the run lines. Reds-Mets, you are playing the total in this one at the Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, I like this. Good opportunity. The Reds... 5th in baseball offensively and 30th in baseball from a bullpen standpoint. So that's going into the handicap as well as, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the Q1 show about the umpires and how I was looking forward to not having to use them as much because of the ABS system. And, you know, if anything, I think there's more importance that should be paid attention to these umpires because they're still making a huge difference in these games, even with the ABS. So anyway, Torres is the home plate umpire tonight. He's a plus 13% from a base winner ERA standpoint, if you will, Gil. Mm-hmm. And so that goes into the handicap. I got 11.7 runs projected. It's 9.5. That's a good opportunity to play an over, Gil.
And I will, by the way. I think people should answer that when someone says, if you will, just be like, I will. I will indeed. I'll accept that. Also an over in the Diamondbacks-Angels game as well.
Yeah, this is the same idea with the umpire, Ed Moscoso, Gil.
Oh.
Who can forget?
Who could forget?
7% more likely to have runs than an average umpire. But, you know, the Diamondbacks offense versus left-handed pitching, it's surprising to me. They're best in baseball by scant percentage points over the Dodgers, Gil. But they are when you do the ratings. And I think that the Angels, I like Detmers as a starter, but they're bullpen 28th in baseball. So all that went into the calculus, Gil, as you would say. And it's projected close to 10 runs. So I think that's a good idea to play an over there.
Ladies and gentlemen, 5 plays.
Yeah, fire.
From Mark Borchardt, 1 parlay and two run lines and then 2 totals, 2 overs, actually, specifically from Mark. Before you go, next segment. So every time Kelly and I set out to do MLB awards analysis, the NL Cy Young race is so awesome that we only end up doing the NL Cy Young race. So we're promising everybody that next segment, we're actually going to talk AL Cy Young and AL MVP. We're going to do that next segment. But for you, just here in the last minute, can you tell us who you would vote for NL Cy?
Mizrowski. I mean, I've never seen any kind of like just to the eye. And there's some debate, and I think it was really good. It was, gosh, the Sheehan. He made some really good observations about.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe. Yeah. And Sheehan newsletter is great. I love that newsletter, by the way. But he made a good point about the innings pitched for Mizrowski.
Yes.
And how it's gone. I don't know, like, are the voters going to penalize him if he's striking out 13, 12 guys and then he takes a couple weeks off? I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because all the metrics in the past would indicate that it would be bad for Mizorowski. But I think, gosh, if you guys striking double-digit guys out, they put him down for 3 weeks, I don't see how you can hold that against him, Gil.
It's a great point. The Tom Tango formula, which is tried and true, would in the net penalize, there is a strikeout element, but in the net, would it penalize Mizorowski for having less innings pitched? It's an interesting point, but I'm with you on the Miz. Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gil.
AL MVP and AL Cy. Pretty clear to me. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game. Un partido de dos. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander. Kelly Midland.
Hey,
Kelly doing his own thing over there. Kelly's on the breaks. Kelly's like going on every basketball site possible to find out some rumors and gossip.
That was the video from that quote I brought up earlier from the Boston Globe. Gary Washburn, I want to say this guy's name.
Oh, Gary Washburn. Yeah,
talking about the Celtics. He doesn't think it's going to happen with Celtics, but they are sniffing around. They can't,
That's quite a report, by the way, sniffing around.
He's another one to bring this up, though, about like them trying to make a move without trading Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, how's that going to happen?
I have no idea.
We get tweets, beat of the book, Tim Bowers. Tim, this is very clever because I actually texted this as well in the group chat the other day. He says, I really enjoyed the soccer play-by-play in the last hour yesterday. Did we do that on air? I guess we did. Kelly, we have no idea what we do on air and off air at this point.
All I know is a lot more entertaining fashion happened off air. I know that much.
What we concluded is we would be the worst soccer play-by-play people ever.
Dude, I would have said the same thing. I didn't remember doing that on air.
I don't either. Tim Bauer says, I really enjoyed the soccer play-by-play in the last hour yesterday. I think next time you should work in the following things I've picked up the last week from watching the World Cup. Nutmeg.
Oh, yeah. That's the five hole.
And then this is the one that I'm referring to. Recycling the ball. So this, I'm so glad you brought this up. So remember in the NFL.
Well, I haven't heard this.
They say it all the time.
I think I know where it goes, but like I'm looking forward to you explaining.
So in the NFL, well, no, I have nothing to explain. I'm just saying, in the NFL, we've watched football for our entire lives. One day, swear to God, this happened this way. One day, it's just like the Morgan Freeman March of the Penguins thing. One day, a penguin took one step to the north.
You realize at this point, I'm more familiar with you quoting
Morgan Freeman.
You're quoting Morgan Freeman. Yeah, that actually Morgan Freeman.
Nobody knows why, but a penguin took a step, and everybody followed that penguin. So the one football announcer, I don't know who, I don't know when, said, you got to get that receiver in space, right? And for the first 40 years of my life, nobody said that.
Yeah.
And now everybody says in space, right? There's a number of things in sports broadcasting like this. Recycling the ball. Some soccer person will correct me on this. I have never heard them use this phrase ever when watching soccer.
Me either.
Every announcer uses the recycling the ball now.
All right, here's the Kelly Bidlin breakdown on what it means.
Okay.
It's ball.
Just send it backwards.
Ball play goes to the left-hand side, and it's like, this isn't working out. Let's get it over to the right-hand side to try to attack, so we're going to recycle it.
That's exactly right.
Is it?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. Numbers, guys. Gil, did you say Regina, the city that rhymes with fun?
Saskatchewan.
That's in Saskatchewan. Oh, no, what I meant was Spadina. There's a street in Toronto, Spadina, and I was trying to be clever and say Spadina and Dundas, but then Dundas went out of my head. He says, if you're in Toronto, I don't know how you pronounce that, and Dundas, a downtown plaza in the heart of the city, which had to be renamed because Henry Dundas's past transgressions. After 200 years, he was Me Too'd. Street's still there, though, right?
Well, I think, is that where Jake was talking about the watch party?
Yeah. I just always found
it. Assuming it's the only town square in the city.
The reason that I seize on that crosswalk is on that cross section is because I would have mispronounced both of them. In other words, I would have said Spadina and Dundas or something like that.
Yeah.
A Brown down in Jungle Land. Base winner has the Phillies. I think he'd be, what do you say? The batting, the lineup number one in baseball. Oh, no, the bullpen number one in baseball. Pardon me. Lifelong diehard Phillies fan here would love that to be the case, but. Are there any drugs he's not on? Jeez, Abraham. Wow. Bobby Getty.
Drugs he's not on.
Bobby Getty should have said this yesterday, but remember when everyone in the world said that the Western Conference Finals was the real finals for the NBA? As usual, we all know nothing. Yeah. Listen, if you're going to have three of the greatest comebacks, three of the greatest five comebacks in NBA Finals history, that'll wipe away a lot. Michael Salvino, if you will, popularized by the one and only Dusty Rhodes. Wrestling reference there for you, Kelly. And then Kevin Downs, my brother from another. Better falsetto, Philip Bailey or Barry Gibb? Wow. I'm going to go Philip Bailey because Barry's falsetto is like an octave higher and it is slightly less appealing to the ear, even though it worked fabulously for the Bee Gees. And I love the Bee Gees and I'm not knocking Barry Gibb, but you asked me to pick one of them. And I got to go Philip Bailey. Take a look at Kelly. Kelly has no idea
Bobby
what's
Gettys
happening.
If it was best of 13, watch out. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's right. I chose to skip that part. I was thinking about Bobby's tweet.
By the way, here's the update. June most wins, in case anybody is in this market. Marlins 10-3. Phillies now 9-4. Phillies beat the Marlins yesterday. If they win today, we got a 10-4 tie between the Marlins and the Phillies. Oh boy.
I mean, I know you're getting excited because you're getting back into it. You know what this board is looking like right now to me though? Enjoy some dead heat fun at the end of the month. Oh boy.
If you're William Hill Caesars, it looks dead heatish. We're early though. Okay, let us talk about awards that are not the NL Cy Young. Let us specifically go to the AL Cy Young, and we're going to do AL Cy Young and AL MVP. And my conclusion here, Kelly, is I kind of think I won't say for AL MVP we'll get to because there might be two bets, but AL Cy, Cam Schlittler is your short shot.
Who?
Cam Schlittler.
Got it.
Is your short shot. Want me to do it again? 1.82 ERA. With his advanced stats, not much worse than that, right? A 2.31 FIP, a 2.84 expected ERA. So worse, not supposed to be a sub-2 ERA guy. And his, you know, and the other stuff is, well, will he regress in any particular fashion? I mean, his BABIP is a little fortunate. His strand rate is a little fortunate. His home run to fly ball rate is probably fortunate, which is why, you know, you're seeing the advanced stats being a little higher. But not that bad. And he's 7-3, and to your point last segment, he's thrown 89 innings.
Okay.
So he's got a good win-loss record. He's got a lot of innings pitched. That fits the Tango formula very well. And really, there's not a lot to say he's going to fall off a cliff in any fashion. So Cam Schlittler, to me, is the correct short shot. And Kelly, to me, he's the only bet to make here. Because if you look at everybody else, Dylan Cease, and this is what, by the way, contrasted with the NL Cy market, this is like, besides Schlittler, who would like at least be in the conversation in the NL, he wouldn't be winning it. He wouldn't even be top two. He probably is not even top three if he were in the NL.
Oh, that's a good question.
But he's at least in the conversation. These other guys, they wouldn't even appear in the conversation in the NL. Dylan Cease has a 2.91 ERA. His his FIP is better, actually, 2.35, because his BABIP has been really unfortunate at 331. So there is a case to be made that Dylan Cease's numbers will actually improve, but as opposed to Schlittler's 7-3 and 89 innings pitched, Cease is 3-3 with 68 innings pitched. So he's not going to get much help there. Jacob deGrom, I really kind of have no idea why he's this high.
Just
I know,
the name?
I mean, probably just the name. I know Jacob deGrom, love Jacob deGrom, made so much money on him when he was a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a 3.17 ERA, and the advanced stats are worse. Like a 3.7 fielding independent and 3.55 expected ERA. Because his BABIP is a little fortunate, 255. His strand rate's a little fortunate, 84.8%. And his home run to fly ball rate's a little unfortunate, but not really that bad. And he's 5-4. There's not really a compelling resume there.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Rasmussen of the Rays, 2.71 ERA. Pretty good. 2.84 expected ERA. The BABIP is really fortunate at 236. So I don't know, Drew. I mean, if you said to me, I don't know, Gil, I think Drew Rasmussen at 20-1 represents some value, I would actually say to you, okay, I will allow that one. Because Drew Rasmussen, besides the BABIP, he's 6-2, 73 innings. So there's a world where Drew Rasmussen could make a move here. And then there's Gavin Williams, who's also in this. I mean, I have no idea why anyone would bet Gavin Williams. 3.32 ERA, but his fielding independent is 3.80, and his expected ERA is 4.58. Like, and by the way, I go to my stuff, right? The BABIP and the strand rate and the home run to fly ball rate. And I'm like, Yeah, but you know what the thing is with Gavin Williams? He's 9-3 in 86 and two-thirds inning pitch. So that win-loss record and the innings pitch is allowing him to be only, in quotes, 18-1. So I'm wondering, why does it, in the numbers that I look at, his expected ERA shouldn't be like over a run worse than his ERA, 4.58 expected ERA. So I have to go to the StatCast numbers, which explains it. He has consistently high exit velocities and poor launch angles. I went to his hard hit percentage, 47.2%, the worst in Major League Baseball.
Ooh.
And a 12.5% barrel rate, the third worst in baseball. So to me, it's Cam Schlittler is absolutely the bet. If you wanted to talk someone into Drew Rasmussen, okay, but literally nobody else to me. And then there is the Tarek Skubal discussion, which is the sidebar discussion, which is, what do you think, Tarek Skubal 30-1? Again, I get it, but you're really betting on the Tigers to get back into it.
Yeah.
Is what you're really betting
him
on.
Him to be great and that.
Yeah.
I mean, both have to happen, right?
All right.
At what point is Schlittler a buy-on? Like, at what point, if this keeps going on, 2 weeks from now, is plus 160 good enough to buy? A month?
Yeah, I mean, I'd do it now.
Okay.
I would do it now. I just wouldn't. Don't wait for him to get into minus money.
Right.
A long way to go. But right now, there's just not another candidate to take it away from him, is the point.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll do MVP later. Coming back on a numbers game.